Welcome to the season premiere of the Nova Nation podcast. I'm Rob Logan, and of course, I got with me my co-host and good friend, Chris Merle. We are both so excited to be back for another season of Villanova basketball, so let's get right into it. Listen up, go Nova. Welcome, everybody, to the Nova Nation podcast. We are back. It is the season premiere, if you want to call it, kicking off the season. The season is going to be starting tomorrow, everybody. So we're getting back into it. I'm Rob Logan. I am your host and my co-host, as always, Chris Merle. What's going on, Chris? How are you?
Good, Rob. Good. Glad to be back talking another season of Hoops at Villanova.
And listen, just for everybody to know, we are going to expand this podcast a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit. Obviously, tonight we're going to stick with Nova. We're going to talk about their games that are coming up, their roster, who's hurt, all that fun stuff. But we're going to broaden the horizons a little bit and maybe bring in some guests from other areas, some other teams to talk about and broaden the horizons a little bit and talk a little bit more about college basketball as a whole. Maybe put some picks in there that we might like going forward, and obviously have some more guests, different guests from Villanova, from all over the country, joining us on a normal basis. So we're gonna kick this off good. Tonight's gonna be Nova though, but we are going to expand, and this is gonna become a great college basketball show. So I'm excited. I'm excited that the season is finally here. College basketball, as most people know, if they know me, I am a huge college basketball fan. Love it. Watch as many games as I can. And I am super excited for this season coming up. I'm extremely excited, number one, and we're going to talk. I want to start off by talking about the women's basketball team for Villanova. Maddie Segrist is back, senior year. This is her year. I mean, she was a finalist last year for Player of the Year overall, but I think she's preseason Big East Player of the Year. She has all the accolades and everything going for her. So it's going to be exciting to see her coming back. They also have another senior coming back, Brooke Mullins. Great shooter. So the two seniors are going to lead this team. A couple juniors. Bella Runyon is back, who she's the daughter of John Runyon, as all the area knows. Eagle fans know John Runyon from his time on the Eagles. But she is a great player. And they also have sophomore Lucy Olson back, who she showed a lot, especially in the tournament last year. She really took over the point guard role. So very excited. Their season is starting as well. So going to be great there. But I am so excited for this year for this Nova team. Now, obviously, we had a show on it last year to kind of close things out with Jay Wright leaving kind of unexpectedly. But things happen. Kyle Neptune comes back in. Kind of keeps the whole system in place, the whole, everything is kind of the same as it was. Neptune was an assistant coach with Wright, so he kind of knows the ways. He's definitely, obviously, a follower of Jay Wright, who wouldn't want to be, obviously. They kept the whole rest of the coaching staff intact. So, this turnover from Wright to Neptune might not be as big of a deal as it was. So that's great for Villanova. I went to the blue-white scrimmage game, which was a couple weeks ago, where the guys get split up into two teams. A couple of the guys were injured that night, so we didn't get to see everybody. But, man, the guys that we did see were definitely highly impressive. I'm going to tell you, there was a couple guys, Chris, if you remember back then, I think I was texting you as the game was going on. Mm-hmm. Some of the players that caught my eye were like, wow. And I told you, I said, who do you think was the guy who caught my eye the most? and I don't think you gave me three guesses, and it was none of the three, but Angelo Breezy was the guy who caught my eye. Man, that kid, very, very quick first step, was getting to the basket, making the passes, making the shots when he did. I'm very excited to see what kind of role he has this year. Coming back, obviously, for he was a redshirt freshman, so he's coming back. Waiting to see what his role is. But I guess where we should really start the whole talk is, who do we think we have some injuries? There's three guys that are injured. Cam Whitmore, our sensational, five-star freshman, mm-hmm. is hurt. He had thumb surgery. It looks like he will probably be back sometime mid-November from what I'm hearing. That, and I'll talk to you about this a little bit later on, that kind of lines up with a pretty good game in November. Obviously, Justin Moore, hurt from last year, is coming back. Apparently, he's way ahead of schedule as far as where he is at with the injury. Looks like he's going to be back maybe mid to early December, which I think is really good, because I think we had several conversations at the end of last year about what could happen if we go too far without him in place. And then lastly, Trey Patterson is still dealing with that sports hernia, but they do say he's kind of day-to-day, so we don't know if he's going to dress for tomorrow night's game. It's kind of unsure, but don't be surprised if you do see him dressed. Maybe he will get some minutes. So that's kind of up in the air. But I guess there are some question marks about who will be in that starting lineup. I think they did name a couple of people, but then they kind of left some vague. Chris, in your opinion, who do you think should be the starting five, you know, right now with the way that the team is set up?
Okay. Well, if Justin Moore and Cam Whitmore aren't available tomorrow night, and then you're also factoring in the returning starters. So Brandon Slater, Eric Dixon, Cale Daniels.
There's your three. Okay.
Now, with Colin Gillespie graduating, moving on, you have a void at point guard. Okay. I know you love Brizzy.
I do.
But they recruited a kid. His name is Armstrong.
Oh, yeah. Mark Armstrong. Okay.
So, and he's a very highly touted recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you were at the blue and white game. I haven't seen him. I've only heard about him. I would think he's going to start.
Chris, I think they named him as the starting point guard.
Okay, so there's your fourth.
I think from, you know, and I don't know if this is coming from, you know, a great source, but I did see on social media that it looked like Mark Armstrong was going to be that starting point guard.
Okay, so now there's one spot available.
Right.
I'm thinking that's Cam Whitmore's spot when he comes back.
Okay? Yes.
Until he comes back, do they go big? Do they play Njoku?
Mm-hmm.
They could. Or they could go small and play Longino. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Could they? I mean, I don't know. So to me, that fifth spot is very up in the air right now. It's going to be – I'm interested to see, just as anyone else, to see how Neptune rolls it out tomorrow night.
Do you think – And this, you know, this is a little bit of a different question, but to keep it moving, do you think Kyle Neptune would be more willing? We all know how Jay Wright was when it came to playing time and some of the younger freshmen, and they had to earn what they got as far as playing time goes, especially in the beginning of the season. With the talent that is on this team, do you think Neptune is going to go deeper than what Coach Wright did especially earlier in the year.
Yeah, see, to me, those are the two biggest things I'm curious to see. Will he play the young guys, the freshmen, and how deep will he go off on the bench?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to go deep on the bench. That's just my hunch. And I think you saw in the tournament how that kind of stung them a little bit as they moved on in competition.
Mm-hmm.
As they got deeper, you need more guys. You can't play with seven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as the freshmen go, I mean, I don't know. Why would you recruit five-star kids if you're not going to play them?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think he's almost has to. Because Cam, you know, you've seen mock drafts out there. Cam Whitmore is in the first round of mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's that good, he has to play. He has to start. You know what I'm saying? And Armstrong's right behind him. So, I mean,
right.
I know you like Brizzy, but.
And Chris, I think, like you said, I'm on board with that fifth spot being Cam Whitmore's spot when he's healthy. I think they're going to be starting two freshmen this year to go along with the senior leadership of Slater, Daniels, and then obviously, you know, Dixon having that leadership as well. I think that's where it's going to go. They have to.
What happens in January when Justin Moore comes back? They move Daniels as the sixth man?
Possibly.
Or Slater?
I think that might have to happen as far as that kind of spark off the bench. You know, Daniels did that really good last year for a good time period there. And then he got actually pretty hot going into the tournament. He got really, really hot. But going back to the playing the players, I mean, obviously you can't argue with a Hall of Fame coach and everything that Jay Wright has accomplished. But I just never understood of why, especially in these games. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about the early part of the season. LaSalle is tomorrow. Then you got Temple. Delaware State is your third game. Why wouldn't you want to play these guys in these first three games to see what you got? You know, and hey, listen, this is the best scenario to be in. Let these kids play and see who's the best one. You know, let the decision be made on the court. You know, put them in, see what they can do, and then go with the ones that seem to be able to play. You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
You know, that was the only thing that I just didn't understand with Coach Wright. Which, speaking of Coach Wright, Chris, I am going to give you super, super, super props, because when we did our retirement show for Jay Wright last year,
mm-hmm.
you way back then brought up the fact of him going into broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
You said you thought that's where he was going to go. You thought that he was going to kind of be the new, I think Packers getting a little older.
Bill Raftery.
Bill Raftery. I'm sorry. Bill Raftery. Mm-hmm. That's it. Getting a little bit older, kind of right coming in, maybe taking over some more of that responsibility. And you hit it on the head. That was impressive, dude.
I started to see him doing more interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And it just planted a seed in my head. And I'm like, okay, he's doing more post-game stuff. He's doing halftime stuff. It seemed like the networks like having him because of his personality and his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a really good public speaker. He's got a great way about him. He's got the look, you know, and I'm like, yeah, they're grooming him. And I'm like, it's not going to be long. I thought he might sit out this year, but I knew eventually. And then I start the thing with Bill Raftery, he planted a seed in my head. You know, he's getting up there in age. And I'm like, you know what? He could slide right in there. He's never done it before. But you know what? in the broadcasting world post Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. I think the experience thing probably gets tossed aside, and networks just like want a guy. They want a name. And I think he'd be good, you know, and I could see it coming from a mile away, you know? So
that was good. That was, I mean, basically almost what a couple of days after he retired, mm-hmm. you know, we had that show and you came up with that. That was quite impressive. But getting back to this year now, let me just go through the roster real quick. Let me put my, I need, all of a sudden now I need reading glasses to be able to see things here. So you got Brendan Housen, freshman guard. He's from Amarillo. Is that right?
Amarillo.
Man, why couldn't I get that? Texas. Obviously, Mark Armstrong, as we spoke about, your freshman guard. He's from South Orange, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. St. Peter's Prep, to be more specific.
Big time program.
Trey Patterson, forward, sophomore from Somerset, New Jersey, Rutgers Prep, another big mm-hmm. New Jersey program. Chris Archidiacono, he's a senior guard. Kind of don't realize that Chris is a senior. He's just kind of always kind of been there. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's in his senior year. So obviously that is interesting with him. You got Justin Moore as a senior guard. Angelo Bruzzi, again, as a redshirt freshman coming in. Colin O'Toole as a sophomore guard. Caleb Daniels, obviously, as a grad now, having his year here. Jordan Longino, sophomore year. Nozuku, as you said, Ford, sophomore year. He's from Newark, Delaware, in the area. You have Cam Whitmer as your freshman forward. He's from Archbishop Spalding, which is a pretty big program down in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Slater as your graduate senior again, who has changed his number. I think we should say that he's now number 34. He's no longer number 3. Okay. He actually changed his number. Trey Patterson changed his number 2-3. And Nozuku changed his number to 21 this year. And then you got, obviously, a redshirt junior in Eric Dixon rounding out the roster there. So, I'm excited for all these guys. I think all of them should get time and just see what happens. Obviously, you know, Chris Arch will probably be, I would think, at this time, the first guy off the bench, I would think, as the sixth man, right? Would you agree with that?
Without Justin Moore, yeah.
You know, I think that's where they would go with that. And then, like you said, depending upon if they go big with Nojuku or if they go and play Longino, who, you know, is a little bit, you know, I think it might be tough to have Dixon and Nozuku out there at the same time, yeah. Because they both have similar habits of where they go when they're on the court. Mm-hmm. When you see in that blue and white game, it was basically the two of them going head to head every single time down the court, you know, which way you were going, you know, trying to get the ball posted up. And actually Dixon started flaring out to the 3-point line, man. He made a couple of nice 3-point shots too. So I don't know if that's something that he's looking to try to add to his repertoire or what, but he definitely hit some big shots that night as well. So it'd be interesting to see that. But and then you would have, to me, you have Trey Patterson when he's healthy. I think he comes off the bench. I think Brizzy comes off the bench, and Housen can come off the bench. I mean, I think all these guys can play. I mean, even watching Housen play in that blue-white scrimmage game, that he was impressive as well. He seems like a gritty type player too. You know, does he kind of remind you of a young Gillespie a little bit? So it'd be interesting to see how they use him as well. But, you know, this team has a lot of depth, and I think we're in agreement that they really need to try to use that to their advantage, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't see why not. You brought up a good point about Njoku and Dixon. They probably shouldn't play together too many minutes. You're right. And as far as Housen goes, apparently he's like a lights out shooter. You know, but Longino gave you that last year too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Arch doesn't give you.
He gives you the leadership.
Yeah. Offensively, he's not going to really make a difference for you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he does come in and spell Armstrong. But then again, you know, if they are impressed with Breezy, then how many minutes is Arch going to get? You know, I mean, I know Jay was loyal to him, but Neptune might not be as loyal. Right. So he might just play the best guys. It's hard to say. I guess we'll find out in these first few games. You know, LaSalle, Temple, Delaware State, kind of like what the rotation's going to be. Or unless they're, like you said, maybe they go and they play everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of these games get a little lopsided. And in the second half, you'll see Njoku and Housen and Longino and Brizzy, you know, especially without Whitmore and Moore available right now.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, the one thing that to me that, you know, Chris, you know, that Arch has going for him is the fact that he's a senior. And when you look at point guard play and guard play, there's a lot of young talent there, but they're young. So, you know, we've had discussions about this before. It's not easy when you get into that Big East schedule and you're in January, February, and you're knee deep into playing, you know, the Creightons and the St. John's and, you know, these teams, and you're banging like you know the Big East does. That's when I think Arch can really be a benefit to the team because he has that experience of going through that before. And I think that's something that they're probably going to need to have because, you know, Armstrong, Brizzy, they haven't been through this. And it's definitely eye-opening to play in the Big East. I mean, look at how the pass has gone. You know, Gillespie didn't come out and play right away. Brunson didn't even come out and play right away. You know, they built up their, tolerance for playing in the Big East. And then obviously as they got older, they became dominant. So, you know, I think that's the one thing that Arch is going to bring to the table.
Okay. It'd be interesting to see how they rotate the guards, especially with Moore not there.
Yeah. Well, I think it just gets more complicated when Moore does get there.
Yeah. Someone's minutes are going to get reduced. It's just to see who. Maybe it's Longino. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, he played pretty well for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made a difference to him. I think he's going to get time. I don't think his time is going to be cut. But somebody's is going to have to be, because you only obviously can play five, and there's only one basketball on the court there. So that should be interesting. Now, let's talk a little bit about the first three games of the season. The reason why we talk about the first three games is that the fourth game of the season is against Michigan State. So I think we will have another show when we get more involved with talking about especially that PK Invitational tournament out in Oregon. We were talking about it a little bit before we came on the air. So we'll definitely have an episode to talk more in depth about that specifically. I also, like I said earlier, I think that is the perfect time that Cam Whitmore comes back and plays. They said his injury would be sometime around mid-November, and that Michigan State game is November 18th. So I think that's the perfect probably time and probably the best need for him to come back and play. So I think that's how things are going to play out with that. Mm-hmm. But your first three games, you have two big five games right off the bat.
Yep.
With LaSalle, Temple, and then you're playing Delaware State University, which we think that's a Division II, Division II type school. So what do you think of the two Big Five games coming right out of the chute for Villanova?
I'm surprised that they're scheduled so early. Usually they're in December.
Mm-hmm.
So do they play St. Joe's this year? I know they play Penn. Penn is December 7th.
They play Penn on St.
St. Joe's is December 17th. Yep. So, yeah, so they are playing all the schools, but I'm surprised that they're kicking off with the Big Five games. Yeah. They're playing at Temple at the Leah Cora Center, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, it's cooler if they played in Palestra, but, you know, we know that's always not possible with Villanova,
mm-hmm.
For different reasons. So LaSalle is at the center or at the pavilion. I think that'll be a good, you know, warm up, tune up game, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Temple might be tricky. You know, that's a pretty good team in the AAC. They seem to be building on something.
Aaron McKee is their coach, right?
Aaron McKee is their coach, former player, former NBA player from Philadelphia.
Yep.
So, you know, I like that. I like that game. I think that's going to be an interesting game. And then Delaware State, like I said, I don't know if they're a low D1. I'd have to check that out. I think they are. I think that is an HBCU, and they might play in the MEAC. But I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, that's a team that Villanova should handle.
That game's at home.
And it is. Yep. That's also at the pavilion. So you get two home games and really one where you have to drive 25 minutes up North Broad Street to play at Temple. So it's not like they're traveling anywhere yet.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see.
They're going to be traveling pretty far.
They're going to have to go to Oregon for Thanksgiving. So. Yeah,
they'll be in Oregon for Thanksgiving. That must be really
cool. Last year was crazy. They stayed in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
And then they had to play. They had to go to Waco to play Baylor.
Yep.
Remember that? It was like they were all over.
Yeah, and Chris, you can kind of see. So, you know, give Jay Wright credit for forecasting how the season might end up with as far as they went in, mm-hmm. to the Final Four. Playing that tough of a schedule in the beginning of the season, I think really did help them get ready
They went to LA and played UCLA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. then they played Baylor like a week and a half later.
Yep. It was a really challenging, you know, before they even got to the Big East, a very challenging, I guess that I don't want to say like they're playing games, but like they're, you know, your early season games this year, you know, they are in that PK Invitational. There are a lot of great teams
there. There is.
So that should be interesting. But do you think Neptune has maybe a little bit of a different approach, maybe taking a little bit easier?
No, because I think this schedule was made before he was named coach.
Oh, you think it came? Oh, okay.
I think these schedules are almost – I could be wrong, but I think it's like college football. I think these are already – the ADs already schedule these games years in advance.
Okay.
So I don't know if he had any influence over it whatsoever. But if you keep going down, December 3rd, they play a game at Wells Fargo Center on a CBS national game against Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So – you know, I don't know how good they are, but anytime you're playing a Big 12 team, that's probably the best conference in the country right now. So that's a challenge in itself right there, even though you're at home. That should be a good matchup.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of different philosophies, I think, you know, with you know, what do you think Neptune's going to do as opposed to what Wright's going to do? I even kind of noticed at that blue-white scrimmage, because this I've gone to them several years now. This is probably my fifth or sixth year in a row that I've gone to a blue-white scrimmage. And this one felt different from all the other ones. There wasn't as much rah-rah. Like when Wright would come out in the beginning of that game, he would get everybody going. The crowd would be going crazy. It would be like insane there. And then the team would come out and it was just like this, like you had to see it. This year, you know, the team came out. Neptune just got on the mic and kind of thanked everybody, and then they went right to playing. And I was with, you know, I was with my son Lucas and a couple of other friends, and I just turned to like Lucas. And I was like, man, that was quick, you know. Like you know, usually Wright's on the mic, you know, getting everybody up out of their seats and you know, like kind of pumping everybody up. And Kyle Neptune was like, thank you. And then I was like, that was it, you know, enjoy the game. So that was definitely a difference right there as far as, you know, the difference between Wright and Neptune. So.
Well, look, dude, he's only coached 1 year.
No, I know.
And he just got handed the keys to a Ferrari.
Yeah.
So he's probably hoping that he doesn't crash it.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's got a lot to prove himself. So I'm sure he's very, like, down to business right now and – he realizes that there's a lot of eyes on him and there's a lot of pressure. This is not Fordham.
Right.
So.
Right. He's
got a lot of questions to answer himself too. So he's got to prove a lot.
Right. And you're right. I mean, I'm saying it more in like of a jokingly type way, but you're right. I mean, if any coach going into that would definitely, but you know, he has been there for years. I mean, he's seen how this stuff goes. And you know, obviously he doesn't have to be exactly like Wright in every sense of the word. You know, he's going to have his own thing. But I think as long as the culture stays the same and the philosophy there stays the same, everything else is kind of just whatever, you know what I mean? Like you can kind of get away with it, but, it was definitely interesting though. And it was definitely kind of like, even the crowd was a little bit like subdued. I think not having Wright there, you know?
Yeah. It's a different vibe, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was definitely a different vibe. And then of course, Jay Wright did show up walking around into the crowd, shaking hands with everybody.
Oh, cool.
You know,
can't stay away.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and his wife were both like sitting there walking around, and he was, you know, his poor wife was sitting there on the side, and you know, he just goes off and starts shaking hands of everybody and giving hugs to everybody. And it was like, all right, you know, that didn't take long for him to come back, you know, but he's been all over Philadelphia. I mean, you see, he was at the Phillies games. I mean, he's all Philly. I'll tell you,
he's enjoying himself. That's for sure.
And I'm telling you, the rumors are going to get even more, you know. Doc Rivers, horrible coaching so far to start the season with the Sixers. I know they've had some injuries and everything, but man, if you watch some of the Sixers games.
He's not going to the NBA.
I know he's not going to go to the NBA, but I'm just saying, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff being said that Wright should replace Rivers, especially with the way that Rivers is starting off the season.
What would you rather do? Take shit from James Harden and Embiid, or sit next to Jim Nance at the Final Four?
Oh, dude, it's not even a thought. Before you even said that sentence, it's broadcasting. I mean, there's no way I would want that pressure. But
yeah, it's not going to happen.
If you're the type of guy who, you know, you're always out to prove how good you are as a coach, and you know, a lot of these coaches have that mentality, they have that chip on their shoulder themselves. You know, they all feel that they're the best coach.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
Do you remember when the one and done stuff really started to happen in the early 2000s?
Mm-hmm.
Kobe pushed hard for Krzyzewski to come to the Lakers. Do you remember that?
Yes.
He wanted nothing to do with it. He didn't like the one and done. So then finally he embraced it rather than go coach in the NBA.
Right.
And he would have had Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I know.
So it tells you how, if you're a top level coach NCAA and you got it rolling, there's not much better than that. You're pretty much a king running your own kingdom.
No, you're exactly right.
You know what I mean?
So, you're right. The money's good. Everything is good.
The travel's better. The lifestyle's better. The only downside is recruiting.
Yes.
And Jay was a great recruiter. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how Neptune's going to be. I really don't. I don't know if he was one of his guys or Nardi was the top recruiter. I don't know which assistant was the recruiting guy.
I think Hargrove is one of the top.
Hargrove, okay. So I don't know if Neptune's just going to keep things in place like Jay Wright had, but you know, that's the only downside, like, to the job is a lot of the guys, they don't like to talk to the media and they don't like to recruit.
Yep.
So
I hear you. That would to me be the only thing. I'm not a big fan of the one and dones. Everything you got to deal with the whole. Yeah. Now,
but they've never been that type of program, really.
Well, no, not. And now look at it though. You have, basically his first year not there. And what happens the first year he's not there?
They get one. Yeah.
Now, obviously, yeah. He was involved with getting Cam.
Sure. They've been probably recruiting the kid for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you can't put Cam onto Neptune as far as recruitment goes, but it is true. I mean, it is a big thing. And, you know, we'll see what happens if Whitmore is a one and done. That'll definitely be a big difference to the Nova system.
Yep.
You know?
It will be.
So I don't think we have to even discuss. I mean, I think we both think that these first three games should be all W's. I don't think that we're going to.
I wouldn't see why not. Temple might be tricky, but.
I can see Temple playing for the first half. Not bad, but right. I just think and that's usually how these games go with Temple. It is a close game. Same thing with St. Joe's. Yeah, they're close games to kind of start out, and then by halftime and, by, 15 minutes in, usually Villanova then takes over and has a stretch. One other thing real quick, blue-white game, I did not see them miss not one free throw. Still going to be one of the best free throw teams in the country again. After setting the record last year for the highest percentage of free throws, they were amazing. And it looks like they all still can shoot a free throw. So I don't think we have to worry about that going down either. So it should be interesting. Like I said, we're real excited. We're broadcasting live this year on the Let's Talk Sports Network. We are a part of the whole network that as far as all the different sports shows here. We're great. We're happy to be here, and we really appreciate it. And I just do want to give a shout out to the man, the network himself, Dan Harris. Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you for putting the Nova Nation as a priority on your network, and I appreciate that. And
thanks, Dan.
Yep, and. Chris, we will be doing this again. Like I said, we will be having some guests from different areas on talking college basketball as a whole a little bit more. Obviously, still putting emphasis on the Nova Nation like we always do. But this is going to be a fun year. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm going to actually probably DVR the first half of that game. Tomorrow, I got basketball practice with my son. So when I get home, I'll start that game up and be excited to watch college basketball again.
Yep, get it going.
Yep. Chris, as always, thank you for riding along with me. I appreciate it. and looking forward to more and more this season, man. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Rob. Take care.
We'll see you guys.
What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.